Welcome to B2B Craftworks, a podcast about business writing. Good morning, business writers. Today, we get to talk about networking. And I know you're thinking, Sarah, the whole reason I write is because I don't really like to talk to people, so I don't need to network. I get my assignment and I move on with my life. But Melissa here and I think you should reconsider, because one of the most loudly whispered secrets about B2B writing and business in general is that who you know can really, really help you. And I don't mean this in a gross abuse of power kind of way. It's more that businesses are made of people. People want to do business with people they know and trust. So the more people you know and trust, and who know and trust you, the more writing work is going to flow in and out of your life, and the more you're going to show up in people's networks and business circles. So I think this applies to freelancers looking for clients and internal writers looking for salespeople who are willing to brainstorm content ideas. Agency writers who want to be useful to their agency by referring contractors and new clients. People just like to know other people. So in this episode, we get to talk to Melissa Suzuno about how to be social and build your network as a B2B writer, mostly digital nowadays, but it's still very pertinent for everybody. So Melissa, the first thing I'd love to hear from you, someone with a lot of experience with networking, is your honest opinion. What would you say is the best thing and the worst thing about networking?
Well, first of all, so thanks so much, Sarah, for having me on. It's very exciting to be here. And as far as the best thing and worst thing about networking, I would say that the best thing is to just not think of it as networking, or not think of it as this separate entity, and just integrate it into your life and think of it as a way of helping other people, you know, connecting with other people. And when you frame it in those terms, I think that that makes it not so icky. And probably the worst thing about networking is that people have this preconceived notion that you've got to be wearing a business suit and you have to be, you know, flipping out your business cards, and it has to be really slick and like some 80s movie or something like that. And I think that that definitely is not what, at least in my experience, when it works really well, it doesn't feel like that at all.
Totally. So maybe to warm up a little bit, could you tell us about some of your experience with networking in the digital space, and perhaps a suspiciously awesome course you have out on Skillshare?
Sure. So I think that we're very lucky in this day and age that we do have so many different ways to network without actually leaving our home offices, right? So we can build our LinkedIn profile, which is what I have a course that's all about that. And that's really fun, especially for writers, because basically we are creating content all the time, and LinkedIn gives us a platform where we can build our portfolio and we can easily share what we're doing with other people. And on LinkedIn, a lot of people are actually looking for content to share. So it just makes sense. It's a perfect place for you to share the work that you've been doing. Other people can like and comment and share with their networks. And then, you know, you get this exponential exposure that you, you know, wouldn't ever be able to reach just by sharing with the people in your network. And yeah, my course, which is available both on Skillshare and Udemy, is all about building your brand as a freelancer on LinkedIn. And I share all kinds of tips about the basics of just making sure that your portfolio and your profile is really built out, and then also how to engage in some of these like good behaviors on LinkedIn so that you are building a community and it doesn't feel like you're just trying to, you know, sell things, but you're actually establishing connections with people.
Yeah, if I were a millionaire, I would ask for a purchase this as a gift button on that course, and just everyone who sends me this scummy, weird first message, just kind of treat them so they can go and figure it out. I think the most recent one I got was somebody sent me a cat playing electric guitar in a GIF, and that was all. That was all. That was my first introduction
to that person. No text whatsoever.
So, yeah, I don't. Okay. Some people aren't really sure about what to do on these platforms. So if you're more on that scale today, we're going to talk about that. And like you said, it's really important to clarify. Like, networking back in the day, you certainly had that show up and have punch in a suit and awkwardly tell people what you do for a living. But we've evolved that idea, I think, especially being connected digitally, where most people know that it doesn't have to be this formal stuffy thing, but enough people still feel trapped in their inbox that it's worth looking at how you can get out of your comfort zone a little bit to connect both vertically. So I like to think of that as clients and jobs that can pay you, as well as horizontally. So designers, people in SEO, technology, IT, marketing, and especially other writers. I think that's just a secret networking career expansion thing that even in a competing niche can really change your business. So I have some examples of that. So like for me, my newest client came from another person in the HR space who is working with that client, and they needed more HR writers. So they brought me on, where traditionally I feel like you could look at that situation and say, we're competing. So you wouldn't want to refer anybody to anybody else. But that's just not how networks work nowadays. So Melissa, you have thought really deeply about this topic for a long time. So I thought we could go through maybe two or three of those tactics that you like to think about when you are helping people build a digital network.
Sure. And so I would say that one of the first ones is what you've just mentioned. It's meeting other people who are in your field and industry. And when I first was considering going freelance, I talked with someone who is also a freelance writer, a completely different like industry and field than me, but you know, still another freelance writer. And he gave me a piece of advice that I found really useful. And it really relates to what you were just saying, which is that there's always enough work. There's so much work out there. Mm. And so as an individual person, you're probably not going to be able to take on every single thing that comes your way. And so I think that's great. When you are connected into a network, that means that if somebody approaches you and you don't have bandwidth at that particular moment, it's really easy for you to pass that along to somebody else. And then there's a very good chance that in the future, they're going to return the favor to you. And so, yeah, I think that thinking about it is, it's not this scarcity mindset, but this abundance mindset that, yeah, there's always so much. And when you're clued into a community, that just makes it so much easier to connect. And I think that that's great. And so if you do have the opportunity to meet people in person, obviously that's great. At the moment, that's a little bit of a challenge. So some of the things that you can do are, look, there's so many great communities online. So there's, you know, Slack communities. I know that for me, I'm involved with HR because most of my clients are kind of B2B HR tech companies. So for example, CultureAmp, I know, has this great People Geeks community, which is on Slack. And that's like a really, you know, active one where people are always sharing resources. And I know that there's tons of other ones out there. I have like an informal one with some other ladies I know who work in marketing, you know, in HR tech companies in the Bay Area. So that is pretty niche, but yet that's exactly the type of company that I work for. So it's great. I've gotten tons of leads through that network. So, you know, finding those kind of networks to tap into is great. And if you're not able to meet in person, then finding ways to connect online at the moment is really helpful.
There's so many layers of that that I love that I'm hoping I can unpack it all, but I'm going to forget something. the abundance and scarcity mindset, I think that's such a great thing for everybody to Google, because you start to realize this is kind of a normal barrier for every freelancer to come up against. You're going to reach this point where you just assume it's so hard to find work that you talk yourself out of being successful. Whereas when you tap into different communities, whether they're super tiny and niche or humongous and you're just a fly on the wall, you're filling your brain with this idea that there is stuff going on, even if you can't see it. So almost like building your awareness of the fact that there are millions of businesses, billions of people out there in the world. And there's just so much opportunity. You really can't be on top of it. It's a different mindset and a different kind of business that you're going to build if you aren't trapped in the scarcity mindset. I really love, the ideas. I have the same thing, for HR tech. So not just CultureAmp, but Lattice has one that I'm in. And just to be hearing what your target reader is thinking and worried about, right away, that helped me get really great ideas for covering COVID and how companies are responding when I'm writing that for another client. So it's kind of like networking. It can be sources for what you're writing. It can be leads for actual people who are going to hire you. It can be leads for who you're going to connect with. I'm picturing these little points and just everybody spreads out and it's a cool web. So
as you were saying, that like persona research is so important too, right? Like that's one of those like fundamental marketing lessons that I feel like I always need to come back to, which is, who is my audience? Who am I writing for? What do they care about? And so, yeah, being a part of that community. And as you said, hearing what they're talking about, hearing what their exact pain points are or the angle that they're thinking about things from, that's just going to make it so much easier for you to create content that resonates with them and that's helpful for them. And ultimately, mm-hmm. like, that's what we're trying to do, right? Is help people with the content that we're creating.
Yeah. Ah, I love it. And so other things, looking at professional associations for things that you work in, like SHRM or Society of Human Resources Management or Project Management Institute, a lot of these larger organizations are starting to build Slack groups or Facebook groups or different things where people aren't meeting physically right now, but they are having email lists or contributions in that format. So there's just so many different places to go to see people doing their thing that it's all stuff you can still do right now.
Yeah. And then my second point, which I think we've covered a little bit already, but that was building your LinkedIn presence. And as I shared a little bit, I think that it's a great opportunity as a writer to share your portfolio. You can include lots of links to whatever it is that you've published most recently. You can blog on the LinkedIn platform, and then you have the opportunity to reach tons of people. What's nice about that too is that those blog posts will show up as Google search results. So you can potentially reach tons and tons of people, especially if you're writing about topics that people are searching for, you know, at the moment, that are timely and all of that kind of thing. And I found that, especially because my niche is HR, I have a lot of people who reach out to me. That's how I get a ton of prospects and leads, because HR people spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. So it's only natural for them if they come across an article and they see, oh, you know, this person wrote it, then they'll reach out to me and, you know, see if I'm available to help them out with a project or that type of thing. So it's a great platform for me and, you know, for connecting with people, for staying top of mind for my existing clients or previous clients, and for sharing the content that I create.
I'm gonna be real. A big part of why I chose HR as a specialty is I just love those people, and they're very, like, they're communicative, they're warm, they know how to run a meeting. It's just all of these kind of like, it's almost soft skills in clients that I really appreciate. So that idea that, choosing a specialty where the people know to go online to find you, it's kind of like digital marketing is a good one too, because those are people who know the behaviors of someone they want to hire. And so when they see it, it's just, it builds trust. It's perfect right off the bat. So that's really funny you'd mention that.
Yeah. And then the next tactic that I wanted to talk about is creating a mastermind group of peers. And this one is great. A couple of years back, I met a group of ladies at a conference, and this was a content marketing conference. So we all have kind of different areas that we specialize in. Some of us are more writing focused. Some of us are more like strategy and consulting focused. But we just all hit it off. And one of the ladies suggested that why don't we start a mastermind? And at the time, I didn't even really know what a mastermind was. And I'll get into the details of that in a second. But also, I didn't have my own business. I worked full-time at a company as a content marketer. And so I was kind of, oh, I'm the odd one out. The three of them all have their own businesses already. Does it really make sense for me to join? But they were very welcoming, and they said, you know, they didn't mind at all that I didn't have my own business, because I was still doing the same type of work that they were doing. Mm. And so that was valuable to them. And actually, to hear a little bit more about my perspective of how we could do things at a company where I was part of a bigger team and we did have more budget and things like that, that was also, you know, interesting for them to hear about. And eventually, when I did leave the full-time job and become a freelancer, that was great, because I had been, you know, hearing from them about what they'd been working on over the past couple of years. And they were such great cheerleaders for me when I wanted to go freelance, and, you know, helped me with a lot of the kind of small things that I would never have thought about. And so that's been great. And to get back to kind of what is a mastermind, because I know maybe not everybody is familiar with it. And I know that there's different ways of doing it. But in our case, we have four members, and we all live in different places. So we do a Google Hangout, and we have it organized organized. So we found a time that works for all four of us. We do it every other week. It's a 1 hour call. And we basically just take time to share what we're each working on. And if we have a particular problem or question, we just kind of throw it out to the group and see what everybody else thinks about it. When we first started, we were trying to be a little bit more rigid about it. Like each update would only be 5 minutes, and then we would spend 20 minutes really digging in, you know, to one person's problem. But over time, we realized that, you know, as we got to know each other better, it doesn't always need to be so rigid. Like sometimes one person has a really big question or problem, and sometimes the rest of us are just kind of chugging along, or sometimes we might all just have a topic that we want to talk about. So it's okay to be flexible with it, but this has been just such an amazing group that, to be a part of. And so many other wonderful things have come out of that. So one of the friends lives in Argentina. And so, you know, I actually got to go and visit Argentina a couple of years ago and see her there. Another friend and I decided that we would travel together in Thailand and work while we were there. And so we did a 2-week trip to Thailand last year. And so, you know, being able to do these kinds of things where we connect in person and then have the opportunity to really like dig in, because during the 1 hour calls, you know, we get kind of the quick level update, but when we see each other in person, then we get to have these really in-depth conversations about like, where do we see our businesses going and how might we be able to partner together a little bit more, you know, in depth. And we actually, all four of us, did an in-person meetup last year in Los Angeles, and that was really amazing too. So we kind of really spent time like digging into everything in so much more depth. And one of the members had created a documentary that was like one of the big projects that she was working on, so she like screened it for us, and that was so much fun. Yeah, it's really even though I had no idea when I said yes to it, you know, like what it was going to be, I'm so glad that I did, because that's so wonderful to have this group of peers and to really be able to like cheer each other on and help each other with all the different, you know, problems and challenges and, you know, amazing things that we've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, wow. And I think I love just the theme of connecting, or, you know, like it seems like when you go into business, especially as a freelancer, you are kind of doing it alone, but being open to kind of synchronicity like that, or the random people that come into your lives and taking that a little deeper, it's really cool to see how that can lead you to things that you didn't even know existed, or supports that are there when you need it, like when you made that transition out. And I find, you know, I've had the same experience, not as awesome as yours for some reason, but, you know, people who I just met really randomly and just a friendly email, hey, I'm a writer too, isn't this crazy? And we still know each other like 5 years later. So we can see each other's businesses changing and growing. And it's kind of like, you know, meeting people from high school and you knew each other back when. So it's a really cool type of professional growth that when you network, you leave yourself open to that. And I think there's one resource called Mastermind Jam, and that it's not specific to freelance writing, but that's a way to kind of get paired with a group that wants to take off like that. So I had an experience with that 2 or 3 years ago. I did that 2 times, and that's a good way. If you can't think of anybody on your radar that you want to connect with right now, that's a good way to get into kind of a pool of other people who are entrepreneurs and meet some people. And then there's a couple other groups too I wanted to mention, including Copywriters Club has a really active, vibrant following, and that's free, I think. And there's something called Pro Copywriter. You can find that on Twitter. Freelance Writers Den is a Slack group that Elizabeth Jones has put together. Freelancers Union is just its own thing, but it has a subscription thing with it. And there's just a couple other. If you keep your eye out for different communities or send me an email, I can send you more information. And even it could be worth paying to be in a group. So I'm in the Wise Women's Council right now, which might be at a different level for people who are just coming into the industry. And then Freelance Writers Den is like a monthly or yearly subscription as well that I know people have found to be very worthwhile. So yeah, there's just so many different ways to get out and connect with people and expand your knowledge of what's possible in the space. We're kind of getting away from networking, but it's cool to see how connected being connected is with business. So So I'll pretend that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think what one thing I would just add to that is that, I think that networking and professional development go hand in hand. And so that we all met each other because we were at a conference. So we had already committed to professional development. That was why we were at that conference. And so we had that, like, not only the fact that we were all content marketers, but we were content marketers who wanted to be at the top of our game. And so I think that that's also like an interesting way to think about it is like, how can you find other people who want to continually raise the bar for themselves, right? And so I think by tapping into these like professional development communities, that's one way that you're going to be able to network with people who are going to, you know, challenge you to keep, you know, moving upwards and keep doing your best.
Yeah. And the another way I've done that, that didn't quite turn into like a mastermind, but I found out that another writer and I had bought the same resource, the Copy School, that just got promoted to everybody on the internet. And we set it up so that we're going to work through the course together, where we check in Monday and then check in Friday on what we've done. And already it just gives you this sense of community with people who have the same goal as you. And that's just one of the greatest feelings in the world. Thank you, Becky.
Yeah. And then I know that like research shows that having an accountability buddy, you know, really increases your chances of meeting your goal. So yeah, that's great. And then I did have one other, like my final tactic that I wanted to share, which was volunteering. And so I am a part of this community called Creative Mornings, which if you're not familiar with it, I highly recommend checking it out. There's over 200 chapters all over the world. Generally, we would meet in person and do a breakfast meeting, and there would be somebody who would present. There's a theme that is the same for every chapter. And so that's really fun. Like the most recent one that we had in Oakland was invest. So every chapter around the world had the theme of invest, but it's up to you to, you know, your chapter to kind of decide how they want to interpret it and who they want to invite to present on it. Now we're, it's all kind of being shifted to virtual hangouts or virtual meetings, but they do, there's all kinds of other things as well. There's field trips. So I know the San Francisco chapter is doing like a pasta making field trip where you can take the class online and, you know, all kinds of things like that. But for me, volunteering was, as a, you know, freelancer, I did find that I did sometimes miss being a part of a team or feeling like I was part of a community. And I had already been going to the Creative Mornings events for a while, and I saw that they were looking for somebody to help them out with social media. And I thought, oh, this is perfect because I don't always have to be there. I can, because I do love traveling, and my schedule sometimes conflicts with, you know, being able to attend events in person and that kind of thing. So it's great that the social media support I could, you know, do from anywhere anyway. But also that I could be part of this group. And so we have a Slack channel that's, you know, just for all of the volunteers, and we do all kinds of different like Google Hangouts and things like that. And we're planning, you know, how we're going to kind of continue having events in this kind of new environment. But even though it has not led to any sort of, you know, work, like I haven't gotten any clients or leads or anything like that through volunteering, I do still feel like it's just a great way of meeting other creative people and being part of a community, which I think as a freelancer is really important.
Yeah, I'm just, it's so striking that being a part of a community has such an impact on how you feel. But I think we need to make the next step, which is to say that how you feel about your work really matters. So if you have that scarcity mindset, you're not going to find any work. Like, your business is not going to do well. How you perceive your knowledge and your value is really important. And so when you're a part of a community, even if it's not directly benefiting your invoicing, you're getting that feeling of learning and engaging and feeling just active in a way that's so important that I wish I'd done a lot earlier. I think by accident, I did that myself, like looking at SHRM conferences and going to the expo and like meeting companies that were already advertising. So if you know their marketing, then you know they might need a writer, and that led to some really good connections. I volunteered at Culture Summit like 2 years ago, and same deal where maybe not a lot of direct business has come out of that, but you meet so many people that you end up being a great resource to connect the people you do work with other experts and people to interview. So there's just this whole spoke of benefits that come from staying involved in a community like this.
Yeah, it also just feels really nice to, you know, feel like you're contributing some positivity to the world around you. At least like for me too, that was a big thing, was I want to do something that makes me feel good. And definitely like with this Creative Mornings community, I get the chance to hear from so many people in Oakland that I probably like my path never would have crossed with, and I get to learn so much about other small, you know, independently owned businesses and things like that. So yeah, it makes me feel good. And as you were saying, it's like feeling good is an important part, you know, when your business is all about you and relies on you to produce all of the work, you want to feel good. So yeah, I think that's
No, I love the way you said that, because, you know, being in a community where you're seeing what other independent businesses are doing, it's showing you that things are possible that you had no idea. Like when you sit and talk to a local retailer and like what they're doing with their business, and it's just like, I didn't know you could even do that. That's amazing. So how much else do I not know? Maybe there's more possibility and magic in the world than I thought. I don't know. It lets you let go of being a skeptic a little bit, I think, when you're meeting people who are doing different things.
Yeah, definitely.
So I wonder, when it comes to Q&As, one that we had was how to work networking into your schedule so you're doing it regularly, and maybe balancing that with not feeling too promotional, right? Like you're running your own freelance social brand, because that could be not exciting either. And there's also some things to think about as far as, you know, what you're putting out on LinkedIn versus Twitter is gonna change that up too. So maybe I'll just ask one question at a time and start with how to kind of work networking into your schedule more regularly.
Yeah, so when we're in a world where we can actually go to in-person events, then that makes it, I think, in a way it's easy, like you block off time on your calendar. Like I know, okay, one Friday morning a month, I'm going to Creative Mornings. And as soon as I know what the date is for that, like I've blocked that off. And actually it's like, it's very exciting for me. I always like really look forward to those days, because it's, you know, it's like a change of routine and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, you can do the same thing if it's a virtual event. Like if you know that there's going to be, you're going to do like a meetup with a few people over Zoom or Google Hangouts or, you know, FaceTime or whatever it is, whatever your platform of choice is, mark it on your calendar, like invite people, treat it like, you know, it's an important event on your calendar so that it doesn't get scheduled over. And like then that kind of builds up the kind of anticipation for it and all of that kind of thing. For like the volunteer stuff, I kind of have a cadence where we would traditionally have a social media calendar where like leading up to an event and that type of thing. At the moment, that's a little bit, you know, in flux, but I still think like every Sunday I'll spend some time looking at the archives of past videos that we've done and then writing up some social media content to promote them and, you know, so that kind of thing. So I think it's just like anything else, if it matters to you, you put it on your calendar and make time for it. And again, I think like thinking about it, I really hate thinking about things in a very transactional way, right? So like thinking about I want to do this, it's going to be an enjoyable experience for me, right? And when you have that positive outlook, it makes it a lot easier to, you know, make the time for it. And yeah, it doesn't feel like it's a burden or a chore, because yeah, it's just connecting with people and helping them and having fun. So who doesn't like those things, you know?
So I wonder how, this is putting you on a spot a little bit, but how do you like phrase that to someone? So let's say you're just a writer hanging out and you see somebody who's interesting and you want to like get on Zoom with them without being super creepy. What are some things one could say?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think, like, I can't think of a situation where that exactly has happened to me. Generally, it would be, you know, connecting with people that I already know. Although, you know, one example might be, I just went to a conference a couple weeks ago, which now it feels like it was, you know, years ago because of everything that's happened since then.
Like before the war.
Right, exactly. But I met a ton of great people there, and I haven't really done any follow-up yet, because basically, like, as soon as I got back, that's when everything started changing really quickly. And I actually started getting really busy, because a lot of my clients, being in this HR world, want to create a lot of content to support the employees and customers and that type of thing. So anyway, but if I did want to reach out to somebody that I had met at a conference, which I think, you know, that's a really good idea, is like once you've met somebody in person once, it's a great idea to follow up with them afterwards. And so obviously, like an easy first step that's maybe not as intimidating as inviting them for a Zoom call, you know, to as the very first thing, you know, baby steps, right? So like just connect with them on LinkedIn. And of course, like a big thing is whenever you send an invite to somebody on LinkedIn, you always, always need to personalize the note, because if you just send a random invitation with no personalization, you know, people aren't going to remember, especially if it's already been, you know, 3 weeks and so much has happened since then. So, you know, just, hey, we met at Alt Summit. I really enjoyed chatting with you about XYZ. I would love to stay in touch on LinkedIn, you know, something like that. It doesn't have to be a novel. And right, in fact, on LinkedIn, you can't, you're limited with your characters anyway. So it can't be a novel. but I would say that, you know, start with something like that, like follow them on a platform like Twitter or connect with them on LinkedIn, and then, you know, establish a little bit of rapport before you go into like suggest, you know, doing a Zoom call or that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen, so I totally agree. And I think some other good candidates for connecting with people are going to be subject matter experts that you've spoken with on the phone. As long as there's no conflict of interest there, I could see that being a great opportunity if the call felt good, you know, like the interview went well and stuff, to follow up with that and just say you're curious about the industry or want to learn more about it and would love to talk for a half hour or something. Because when you're talking with consultants, they get a lot of value out of speaking with writers too. And there's an exchange that can happen there. And I've done that recently with some marketing managers who, you know, they want to know more about what writers and journalists want to see in pitches. And I wanted to know more about how they hire writers and what they're looking for. So it ends up being a great meeting of the minds or exchange that just kind of makes your digital network a little more real. So yeah, there's probably layers to it where you don't want to just start asking everybody, you know, to hang out. But I've seen it done really well for people to say, you know, I'm really interested in anything in this industry and I love to meet up and coming people. So if you're ever interested in catching up on Zoom, I would love that. And that's how I got to meet Michelle Lynn and invite her to the podcast for our first episode, was just that she's that generous with her time and that interested in marketing. So that it ended up being a really good match to talk for a little bit. So I think as long as you're staying classy and not trying to sell anything, I think there is room to just reach out to random people and say hi, and maybe embrace that it might be a little awkward, but it's also, that's where strange, weird, wonderful connections can come from.
Yeah. And I would say that especially nowadays with a lot of people, you know, feeling isolated, not being able to leave home, all of that kind of thing, I think a lot of people are probably more open to that kind of connection because, yeah, we just, you know, we want to have a chance to connect with other people, talk with them, and just share our experiences and all of that. So, yeah, I would say that it's worth reaching out because people might actually be really happy to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And with that, like provide some context because they probably want to know why you're reaching out. I think if you just say, hey, want to hang out, like no one's going to agree to that. But, yeah. I guess I'm leaning on the specialty thing. Like if you have a really focused, specialized thing in common with someone and you want to talk about it, I don't know. It's a good opportunity. Great. So this is where I don't feel as awkward thanking you because we're at the end and you've shared a ton of really good information for people to be getting into digital networking. So thank you. And my closing question for you to send off all these really fired up writers who are going to risk it all and connect with other people on LinkedIn is, what would you say is the fastest way to make a friend on the internet?
Oh no. what is the fastest? Well, probably I was going to say by sending them an appropriate meme, but you, you had said earlier that the keyboard cat did not work, but maybe that meme was not appropriate for you. So I think
exactly.
You know, if you find somebody who you are share an interest or, you know, you're able to tell enough about them that you know what kind of meme would resonate with them, then an appropriate meme, you know, would be a great way to make a friend.
That's so funny. I didn't even think of it because I'm totally a hypocrite, because if that had come to me on Twitter, that would have been a new best friend. But because it was LinkedIn, I was like, unconnect. Like, this is over. Interesting. So cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and keep thinking. We're going to be back. We've actually amped it up to more like once a week with these episodes because it's getting really fun. So we'll be back soon with another Craftworks. And until then, we're all over the place on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. We've got the free Foundations course, which is very exciting, and a thrilling email newsletter that goes out on Fridays. And Melissa's course is on Skillshare and Udemy and would give you a lot more in-depth information about this area of the subject. So that is all.